Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Yeah, I gotta laugh every time I hear master of change. This is Filippo Voltaggio, and sometimes, you know, there's that old adage, you teach what you need to learn, and I really am wanting so much to master this change thing. And today's an interesting example because I can't tell you how many times our producer, Dorothy Donahue, walked in to talk to me about Scalar Heart. And she had gone to a seminar. And like all of us, we all go to a lot of seminars. And we don't really talk too much about them. We just say, share some information because we take in so much information. We read so many books. We interview so many people. And so, but this, Dorothy wouldn't stop talking about it. And so you would think the first couple of times I'd say, okay, obviously this is important. I need to listen. So one day I was down about something or not feeling well about something. I don't know what it is. I'm telling on myself is what it is. And Dorothy says, would you let me do a Scalar Heart Connection session with you? And so I'd heard a lot of her clients rave about them. And so I thought, of course. So we sat down and almost every question I'd say, wow. And she'd say, wow. And the wow was that how this computer, now I'm used to Dorothy knowing things about people and myself that nobody else would know. But the fact that a computer was figuring it out, or this application was figuring it out. And I came away with so much that I wanted to do another session actually the next day. And technically I wanted another one the next day because I just felt like we were going deeper and deeper and learning more and more. And so
Dorothy didn't have to ask you to check out Scalar Heart Connection anymore.
Exactly. I said, why haven't we had this person on the show? Is he local? Is he this? And she says, I've been trying to tell you about him, which of course goes right to my Scalar Heart because, you know, I'm thinking, really? I didn't hear the first time or the second time. And so this is the thing that I say to my clients is we have to be open to the clues. We have to be ready to listen. And that's how we master change, and we have to be able to look around us and see the subtle changes and differences and all that. And then there are still some areas that I haven't been doing that, but I have, because our guest today is Mr. Scalar Heart Connection himself. So we're going to find out how the computer does this, because he's the one that built it. When we come back. We are back, and as I mentioned, our guest is Stephen Lindstedt and Scalar Heart Connection, a guided self-healing meditation. Oh, no, actually, so much more. But before we get into it, I'm ahead of myself. I'm jumping right in.
Not a first. It won't be a last.
Well, I wasn't ahead of myself when it came to this particular Scalar Heart thing, but you, I have to say, you, as soon as you heard about it, you're like, I want to do it.
Well, this struck a chord with me right away. It's an area that I've been passionate about and wanted to see evolve and learn, and have followed some of the researchers that Stephen references, and understand at least some of the basics, which led us here. And I'm looking forward to hearing so much more. But this is part of what, coming from technology, for me, I've wanted to see in this space. So to be able to bridge this gap between the natural, you know, all-knowingness that we can tap into, yet having a tool that's so eloquently built from what I've used the app and then have been through, like you were saying, the long form, and it's magical. The intuitive process, yet using it within a technological medium, I think is really magnificent.
Absolutely. And let's jump right into it. He calls himself an author, a poet, a painter, and a student of the heart. He has a doctorate in natural health and is a certified nutritional consultant, and he is the builder of the Scalar Heart Connection. Welcome, Stephen Lindstedt, to the show.
Well, thank you. It's just awesome to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that we want to ask you, and so much we want to share with our audience. But I just figured since you're here, I want to start out with, how does it do it?
How does it do it?
So let's talk about what it is. What is it doing and how does it do it?
Well, the question of what is it, that is the question. And for me, it's like, what is the source of crop circles? Who makes the crop circles? Who helps you when you're in a city and you're lost and suddenly somebody comes up to you and they at that moment, they give you the directions to exactly where you need to be. Mm. Or I'm doing some research and I'm really stuck on a certain question. And then someone will come up to me and say, hey, have you read this book? And it's exactly the subject and it has exactly the answer that I was looking for. So exactly, synchronicity. And I think that scale-heart connection works on the principle of synchronicity. Mm. And that opens up the whole big question of who is listening to me ask the question about the subject that I'm trying to find that brings the book to me? Who heard me ask the question and is supplying the answer? Who is that or what is that? And personally, I believe that that is, well, we could call it our higher self. Some people think of it as unlimited intelligence or universal intelligence. Physicists, quantum physics are now saying that that whole quantum field is aware of our thoughts. And we're able to interact with space and time. And so looking at research by HeartMath with Roland McCready and Dean Radin at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, they've shown how the heart actually sends more information to the brain than the brain is sending to the heart. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the heart is knowing and responding to events in the future. So the event hasn't even happened yet, but the heart is already starting to react to it. Mm. Just like, how do elephants know when a tsunami's coming? And how do they know, how do birds know when, you know, before an earthquake arrives? There is this innate knowing that I believe that we all are connected to, and it's infinitely smart.
I met with Dean probably 3 years ago and heard about that, one of those studies of the separation and the kind of precognitive biophysical feedback at a distance. And that's such a game changer when you really start looking at you know, what heart science is evolving, and then now point it back to what you've built to really kind of capture that or to play with it, to work with it. It's really magical.
Well, I looked at that same research. They're calling it presentiment, where the heart is reacting physically to an event, like I said, that hasn't happened yet. And it's coming from a monitor. They would show test subjects an image on a computer screen that was like a horrible image, or they might show a very pleasant image. And the heart was responding to the image that was on this, that was coming up on the next screen before it had come up, you know, within seconds before it came up. And so I said to myself, if the heart knows what is coming up or about to come up on a computer screen, why couldn't I ask the heart to show me what computer screen I needed in terms of had the answer to a question that was bothering me? So I'm troubled by something. I need help. I can wait for synchronicity. I can wait for a bird to fly through my window or something. Mm. Or could I put the answer on a card and tape it to the back of 10 monitors? And could I then ask my heart to show me a number, like picking a card, 1 through 10? Have you ever had someone say, here, pick a card? And you interact with it in some intuitive way that says, well, that's my card. You just know that's your card. So if I ask someone to pick a number 1 through 10 and one of those numbers has the answer that they're looking for, it never fails. They always know that it's number 6 or it's number 7. They know the number. And sure enough, when they turn over the card related to number 7, let's say, the statement is so right on to what the question was that you go, wow. And that's what you were saying before the show started. It's that wow factor that you know that you've tapped into some higher intelligence, you know, that heart innate intelligence. And that's just, it's a game changer because suddenly you realize you can have a conversation with the wisdom of the universe.
So That's your question to what it is and how. And the how is we don't know, but you found a way to tap the unknown.
Right, tapping into the wisdom and the intelligence of the unknown.
Right. So, gosh, okay. So let's talk this through. So you created an app and a program. The app is the short version that can be had on our media devices. Mm-hmm. And then the long version, they have to go through people have to go through a program with you or go through a practitioner in order to experience. So, mm-hmm. The app and or the application do what? They ask questions.
So what I found is that when people have an issue, well, first of all, why do we have issues? Why do we even have problems? And I feel like we have problems because we are in this stage of life that is about helping us to grow and to evolve. And so I think that problems, hardships, the traumas that we have in life are there to teach us and to help us.
So kind of like a child going through a math course.
Exactly. So you have the problem comes up. And we're challenged through that problem. And the challenge leads us to the action. So what I've been finding, I call these archetypal patterns. It's like the same issue that I have, everybody else has had them. I'm not unique in my problem. And it's almost like you can find these archetypal patterns that come to us in the issue, and then it's the obstacle or the challenge that helps us grow. And then finally, what is the action that we need to take? And usually what happens is we have a problem, and we react from our mind belief about it, which is our conditioned belief, our cultural conditioning, our parental conditioning. And so we just react from that. And that usually, at least it's been my experience, it always makes it worse when I just react from how I saw my parents respond to a certain thing. And I mm-hmm. respond like that, and I always get in trouble. But if I can just take a moment and tap into my heart and say, okay, heart, what would be a more compassionate response instead of a reaction? And that is always a completely different answer, and it always has a completely different outcome.
We're going to have to continue when we come back, but you've touched on something so many things that are so important. This thing about reacting from how our parents reacted or what we've seen on television mm-hmm. or what we've seen our friends and family do, as opposed to reacting what we know, like even if we know that's not the way to react, we end up still reacting that way because that's what's ingrained,
familiar, or programmed.
We're programmed.
That's the program.
It's based on habit, the habit of reacting.
So telling somebody, you know, this is the right way to do it, it is great, but this work actually helps change that habit.
Yes. What happens, I have found that when you bring the habit to consciousness and your mind now has been called out, it's been called on the carpet, and the mind goes, yeah, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the shorter version gives you what the mind is thinking and reacting to. It tells you what is the heart response. And then it has a frequency that sort of matches to that response. And that's part of what helps with that shift to make it more to more lasting and changing. The longer version asks a couple other questions. And the other question is, where did this belief come from? Was it from mom? Was it from dad? Was it the school principal? Or is it societal collective consciousness? Or sometimes it can be genetic, it can be ancestral, which is always a fun thing to do, to find out that this habit came from your mother's side on, you know, seven generations back. It's amazing.
Mm.
And so when you tap into the source of that belief system, that also has the possibility of shifting it. And then finally, in the longer version, once we have this beautiful heart consciousness statement, and we know where it came from, where we know the negative reaction came from, we ask one final question, and that is, what is the mind's resistance to changing?
Mm.
Right? You said, well, I just do this out of habit, and okay, I have this great new way of doing it, but I'm still going to go into the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we ask the mind, well, what is it about that you still want to hang on to? And for many people, that is the whole game changer right there, because it gets right down to the core of, why do I hold on to this when it's not obviously not working for me?
Let's talk about why we hold on to it when it's not working for people, or better yet, how we get rid of it. Okay. When we come back with our guest, Stephen Lindstedt, after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and I could talk about this all day. I'm learning so much, and having the experience of this is something that I want to do more. So if you feel the same way, you can go to Scalar Heart Connection. Now, Scalar is S-C-A-L-A-R, scalarheartconnection.com. And there you could do the short form, as Stephen was telling us earlier, of the application of the work. And then there's also the app, which is Ask Your Heart. And there's the app button there on the website where you can download that, or you can go to any app store and download Ask Your Heart. And it will, when you ask your heart, it will tell you all kinds of things. If you're interested in actually having the same experience I had, and Mark for that matter, you can see Dorothy, and you can go to energeticalchemy.com. energeticalchemy.com, and you can book yourself a session with Dorothy, because she is a practitioner in this work. So I've never seen her so excited about a work, and now I know why. So tell us, we've gone through all these steps, and we still haven't really talked about the how, and I think that's what we're going to get to in this section, but you get to the end, and you said the question was, what is our resistance to change?
Right. What is our resistance to change? Well, it goes back to our conditioned belief about something. And then when the mind is confronted with the heart's new approach, the mind goes into the resistance, because the mind is afraid of change. It all comes down to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when the statement from the heart is telling us consciously what it is that the mind fears, then the mind can listen to it. And sometimes the mind is just outright embarrassed. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that is kind of silly. I don't really need to be afraid of that. In fact, I can actually see myself getting over that.
So it might have been something like from childhood that we thought.
Exactly.
Or it might have been, like you say, if it's generational, it might have just been something that we were born with then.
Well, one of the popular ones that come up is that if I change, others won't love me anymore. Because we have a group of friends, or, you know, we have brothers and sisters that see us a certain way.
Yeah.
And suddenly if we, and we have money issues, or we have issues in our career, and what we really want is to flourish in our career. But suddenly we feel like, well, then my brothers and my friends won't be able to relate to me the way they are used to. And so I'll lose all my friends.
And that's true.
That's a bigger driver.
You can download the app.
I bet you that's a bigger driver for people staying in a certain place than a lot of people would ever admit.
Exactly.
I think, especially when you look back to groups that you're in with as a child, right? And that's where, right, whatever we're brought with us, but then usually is experiencing as kids. You know, I could immediately picture a handful of times where I either tried to do something new and then you watch friends fall away, or, you know, those kind of things. And
yeah.
They're not pleasant experiences. So,
right. And we're also taught in our society that there's something wrong with us if we fail, you know, that we have to be achieving certain things, mm-hmm. that we can't just be who we are. We can't just be a loving, compassionate heart and that's it.
Or if we look at what is being done to quote unquote successful people, or the people that are quote unquote stars, mm-hmm. And how people treat them. It's like, who wants that in their life? Who wants to be talked about like that or teased or whatever? Even right. So
there's many, many good nuances,
yeah.
Right. All of that comes up. And so we want to know, what are those nuances? What are those beliefs? And most of the time, I would say 90% of the time when the mind is confronted with it, the mind says, yes, you're right. I don't need to hold on to that anymore. The 10% where it's obvious that the client, you know, they go into this cold stare and they start to have this sweat. Then what I have learned over the years is that take that fearful statement and do a session just around that. And then you can get into the deeper nuances of what's behind that.
Mm.
And that's amazing, because now you're getting a couple floors below what, you know, that subconscious pattern that you started with. Now we're starting to go really, really deep into it.
Now I understand what that look is you've been wearing through the session.
Well, and in truth, there was something bizarre that came up during my session, and it was like, well, what happened in that year? Nothing except this, and nothing's wrong with that except this, and oh my God.
Right.
I never thought of this. Right. No wonder.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of
that's
thing.
That's exactly what happens.
Okay, so how does it know? I mean, what kind of mathematics algorithm, what's behind this system that works?
I'm not sure I can actually answer that, but I'll try. I'll just tell you my story about it. And that is that I've been working on this for over 10 years, probably closer to 15 years. And like I said, is when I saw the research of Dean Radin in heart math that I realized that it was possible to ask the heart. So that was the starting point. And then I went back and I said, well, to ask the heart, I need to have a matrix where I have all these statements organized in a way that makes sense. And because I'm organizing in a way that I'm looking at as a journey for transformation, where else do we see that? And well, of course, we see that in Joseph Campbell's work, The Journey of the Hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through the 12 stages of the hero's journey, and I looked at all the dynamics within each one of those stages. And each one of those stages mirrors actually the zodiac. If you look at each of the houses of the 12 zodiacs,
oh, really?
And they fit perfectly.
Never made that connection.
And then if you take the chakras, they have their own archetypal dynamics. And I thought, well, it must be possible to put the chakras in each of the hero's journey and each of the houses of the zodiac. And sure enough, just based on the elements, they fit perfectly. So now we have at least three layers deep of archetypal information within those 12 steps. And so I started to use that as a way of numbering and putting statements behind the positive and the negative mind belief is all based on starting out by asking the heart, well, what emotional center is this issue activated by? And so I don't know what your issue was, but you can imagine that I'm having issues with, say, making money. That's a very popular one. And the heart, and then so we ask the heart 1 through 7, well, what is the emotional or chakra center holding that issue? 1 through 7. And so if you pick number 3, they're all arbitrary. They're all randomized so that the mind doesn't memorize the numbers. Mm. And so you pick the number that's related to the root chakra, and that would be like in the second house of the zodiac. That is very much about home and our possessions, about making money and providing for ourselves. So you see how that starts to fall into place like that. Does that make sense? So it sounds a little complicated, but when you look at, and I go through all this in a 2-day workshop, so it's okay that it doesn't all come together right now in 5 minutes. But essentially, we're taking all those dynamics and we're sorting them out within those 12 steps. And then we can go very deep within each one of those.
Well, so within a certain basic set of rules based on that archetypal information,
right,
you have set up a playing field it's almost like a universal mind shell game where you put the right answer and your heart knows where it is under which area to be able to draw from. And so then you're leaving it up to that,
right,
as you're saying, unknown intelligence, which right, everybody uses every day.
Right.
Why do flowers know how to turn and look at the sun?
Right.
Right. How do we know how to breathe when we're not paying attention?
Right. And then, so that's exactly right. You said it much better than I did. What I found is that when you're looking at the issue and the obstacle and the action, that forms a triangle. And through the quantum healing codes, I don't know if we'll have time to talk about those, but those are frequencies that relate to each of the chakras. And when I started to looking at those within that geometry, and I look at Metatron's cube as the geometry that houses those 12 steps, I found that you can actually connect the issue and the obstacle in a totally different house, and the action can be in a totally different house.
Mm.
And so now you can dial that around that zodiac, if you will, and you can change the direction of that triangle, and you end up with 144 different archetypal patterns.
Oh, isn't 144 a number that is important like everywhere?
Exactly. And so what is 144? The human heart beats 72 times in a minute.
Mm.
That means in 2 minutes, that's 144 beats. The University of Stanford just did some research with the acoustics of the sun, and they found that when they take the solar flares and the acoustics that causes and speed it up 42,000 times, the vibration on an audible level is 144 hertz.
Mm.
And so the heart, when you look at the solar system and the planets, the beating of the heart is in sync with the planets.
Well, every heartbeat is an open and close, right? Too. So it's actually 144 movements.
There you go.
In a minute.
If you want to do it that way.
Right.
So the heart is physically in sync with the vibration of the earth, the vibration of the sun and the solar system and beyond.
Okay. You're telling us that in the program are these numbers. It's like we talked about 144, and there must be others.
Right, there are others. It was about the beginning of the 1990s that Leonard Horowitz came out with a book called The Bible Codes. And in there, he talks about the Solfeggio scale. And that Solfeggio scale is what I use in the tones that go with scalar heart connection. I refer to them as the quantum healing codes because I've taken those 6 notes and created 21 possibilities by making intervals. And what happens is that each one of those tones are related to one of the chakras. And we had talked about the different chakras and the emotional centers. So that when the heart is giving us the positive response that it's saying that we should look at and embed into our system, we create a positive statement for ourselves. It's like a new positive vibration that we want all of our cells in our body to resonate with. We can support that with the vibration coming from the quantum healing codes. So not only are we repeating that positive affirmation, if you will, but we're also actually listening to what it sounds like and what it feels like. Because remember, with our negative mind belief, we haven't opened ourselves to even allowing the vibration into our system. And so this helps to actually, you know, bring that in and actually feel it sometimes for the first time.
This to me is where the paradigm shift really is. You know, it to be able to give the opportunity. It's one thing to have the awareness, the awakening, to go to that path or down that path. But then, you know, the question is, where do I go next? What do I do? What does it feel like? How do I get there? You know, and to have the ability to ingest that, to take that in, to hear it, to feel it. And that entrainment, at least for me, the way I see it, you know, that your cells have the opportunity to say, oh, that's what that's like. And it's no longer playing that broken record, the other one. Mm-hmm. And you replace that and your consciousness is there for the first time. And then it's that much easier for it to continue to be in that space. And I, you know, I've talked to people that have had an immediate gratifying response from working with this.
That's exactly right. When you match the frequency of what it is that you want to manifest in your life. And when I say match the frequency, I mean in every cell of your body, 100%. When you're on for that vibration, then the universe will conspire with you to manifest and to create that reality.
One of the interesting things about your tool of the Scalar Heart Connection is that at the end of each session, that your program gives a frequency to listen to.
Right.
And one thing that not very many other frequency people that put out frequencies do is yours actually does dissonance at some times, where it's taking two frequencies that don't normally go together. I have heard both the single frequencies in your case, frequencies that harmonize, and then frequencies that have dissonance. And I thought that was very clever. Can we talk really briefly about that?
Yeah, that's a great question because when an opera singer hits a note, a very high note that matches the same frequency of a glass, that the molecules are resonating at that same vibration and they like over vibrate and the glass shatters. And so if you take that negative belief and we trace it back to where did it come from, and we find that it's a childhood trauma, for example. Well, that childhood trauma has a vibration and a resonance that stays with us our whole lives. Mm. And that's when we have like this dramatic experience and we take that into our relationships, we take it into our careers. It's not a wonder that we don't create the reality that we ideally want to have because we have this very dissonant vibration around us and within us. And so some of those intervals are very dissonant. Mm. And when someone is doing a session and we find that the root of that came from a very traumatic childhood issue, when we play or we ask the heart to give us the quantum healing code that we need, more times than not, we start off with a dissonant. And what I'm finding is that is the dissonant vibration that is matching the childhood dissonance. And it's like the opera singer who is singing that same note to the point where it shatters. And I've had people, you know, listen to the dissonant, and then we ask the heart for another tone because we want to end on that very pleasant, consonant, inspiring harmony. Mm-hmm. If there is more involved with the childhood trauma, the heart will give us another dissonant. And I've had cases where people have heard four dissonant frequencies in a row.
Wow.
And it's like it's just shattering that old vibration from that cellular structure.
So kind of meeting it.
It's meeting it and canceling it out. It's like shattering it out of that cellular memory field, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a personal question, but there might be people out there that might have done the same thing. I am actually have been familiar with the frequency codes for quite a while. And I, the first time I came across them, I just played them one after the other. Like I just played them all. Uh-oh, I saw that face. What does that mean?
That means that when I first put that track together and I was playing it in the living room, suddenly my wife came running out of the back room.
Turn it off.
Right, screaming, turn that off. And I realized that this has to be listened to in the context of a session. It is so specific.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, so my thinking was, and this has been my thinking with a lot of things, but my thinking was, if one of the tones can heal something, maybe all of the tones is going to heal whatever it needs to heal. It yeah. knows where to go.
Yeah.
Well, I think since we were talking about that knowledge and those crop circles, it just I had to point out that the note theme from Close Encounters were solfeggio tones, for those that don't know it, our listening audience.
Yeah. You know, I watched that movie 5 times. Yeah. When it first came out, I just sat in the theater and I was just so moved that, you know, the lights went on and I stayed there for the next showing. It was just amazing. Mm. The vibration of that. Mm. So moving.
Well, So listen to the tones.
Yeah, listen to the tones
as you're
directed by your heart.
Yeah. No. Well, where I actually was going with that is the first time I listened to them, I couldn't do it because it was just
it's too much. Yeah.
And I kept trying because that's just my personality, and until the point where I was able to listen to all of them. So something must have happened in the process. Right. So the reason I really appreciated what your program does is that it puts two together or three together for however the so it's like, oh, I haven't done that. So now I want to just jumble them all together and play them all.
Well, I have never heard of anybody doing that. So my hat off to you, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But we do recommend that people try that. Okay. Moving on. Filippo
likes to shatter multiple glasses at one time.
Okay.
People try the experiences. That's the way why I am the way I am. People try the experience. You can get the app. And how much is the app?
It's $1.99.
Only $1.99?
Yeah, I want to make it available to everybody.
And you can use it as many times as you want?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it end with frequencies too, or where does it go?
It actually gives you the frequency.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting, not only do you have, if you use it right in that moment of trigger or reaction, it's an interesting, at least for me, because I'd like to explore this stuff and then kind of observe what comes up. And so there's almost two things that go on. It seems like there's the immediate feeling of resonance and warmth or acceptance or aha or we got it, but then there's also the mental moment of control where you're now able to kind of reach out for some help to growing through that, where typically you're just dealing with the energy that you're sitting in.
So exactly. It's kind of that is
brilliant. It's a neat tool from that
why I developed the app, because so many times things will happen to you, somebody cuts you off in traffic. And it's nice to just pull out the app and listen to the tone. Mm. So by the time you get to the office, you know, you've calmed down.
Preferably before you get out and have the conversation.
Right, before you make it worse. Right.
Right.
Your mind makes it worse.
Well, that's exactly, actually, Mark was the one that came up with the title of the show, Listen to Your Heart. There's an app for that.
Yeah.
And so the app is Ask Your Heart.
Right.
And so you can listen to what your heart has to say. Now, anything else that we could say real quickly? If you had to change the world, if you had a way of changing the world, this would be it.
Well, I am so happy that people are using this around the world, because when we can all tap into heart consciousness instead of mind-brain consciousness, I think we really can change the world. We can have more caring for each other, more caring for the planet, and that's really, I think, the only chance we have.
You know, one thing that wasn't mentioned, and it came out while you were just saying that, and I want to make sure that people take this away, that heart science is now really waking us up at a larger awareness to the fact that the heart sends and receives an exponent more information than what we had thought to be the sending and receiving from the brain, right? It's the heart that sends out that information. You have that initial tapping into the knowingness, and then the brain starts to process it based on its programming.
Exactly.
And so this is what you've done is created, you know, a tool to work within that. And so this, the timing of what we're now understanding is that we had it kind of upside down, so to speak. And as we drop into our heart, then being able to utilize the power that's within us and the intelligence that we have access to.
Very good.
Very good indeed. And I'm sure, Stephen, you wouldn't mention if for just one moment I share your limelight with your wife, who's with us today, happily, Maria Elena Buchmeier. And as a matter of fact, I was reading the book that you both co-wrote, The Heart of Health, just today. And so I've enjoyed half of it so far. I can't wait to read the rest of it.
Fantastic.
And I think it should be a course in every school, The Heart of Health, The Principles of Physical Health and Vitality. I call it the How to Body book. With that, it's a pleasure having both of you in the studio and looking to see you both again soon.